This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, and I'm joined by my co-host, advisor, neighborhood commissioner, Tony Norman, who's also chairman of the board of Pacifica Radio's WPFW 89.3 FM. Welcome, Tony Norman.
Glad to be here.
We're also joined in studio by BK Burhi, a board member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, which sponsors this program. Welcome, BK.
Thank you.
We begin tonight's show on a solemn note. Hayes Ose Dennis, a 60-year-old DC taxi cab driver with Gold Star Cab, was stabbed to death Thursday evening outside the company garage on Q Street in Southwest. Hayes leaves behind 7 children between the ages of 4 and 20. Last night, the gas station at 15th and U Streets Northwest, Tony and I were passing out flyers for tonight's show, and we bumped into Nana, who, like Hayes, is from Ghana, and the two of them are friends, or I guess I should say were friends. And Nana told us that yesterday was the funeral service for Hayes' mother, who had just recently passed away. So the family's experienced 2 losses in a very short time. As soon as we get information on how to help out the family, we'll pass that along. And if anyone has information on this later in the program, we'll be opening up the phone lines. So please call in. Again, this is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org. And I'm joined in studio by SBA board member BK Burhi, as well as by my co-host, ANC Commissioner Tony Norman.
Yes, I was there when Nana mentioned that tragic incident. It was also in the Washington Post, I believe, either today or yesterday.
Today's Post.
And it just shows you you never know the difficulties that people are going through. He was a taxi cab driver, although this incident didn't happen during his driving. But it shows you the burdens and the things that many of the taxi cab drivers are doing, second jobs, and the things that they're going through and what they have to go through, particularly those that have large families and are supporting families back in their home countries. So it's just a tragic story that what could happen in a minute. If you don't appreciate, sometimes you have to appreciate the things you have, but it just shows you some of the tribulations and the burdens that many of the taxi cab drivers have to deal with.
Again, as information becomes available on how to support the family, we'll bring that to you right here on the Taxi Link. In just a minute, I'm going to be giving out 3 different telephone numbers. So if you're driving, you may want to pull over. I'm going to give out the number to listen to the show on your phone. I've been hearing from drivers that sometimes it's difficult to get the program to come in clearly on the radio. So we'll also be giving out the number to call in order to listen to the program over the phone. Additionally, we'll give out the number to call into this program. So if you want to have a comment or a question, we're going to be taking calls toward the end of the hour. And lastly, the third number I'm going to give out is for the Small Business Association's Taxi Phone Conference in Amharic, which begins directly after this program. So for Amharic speakers, right at 8:30 p.m. as the Taxi Link comes to an end, the Amharic phone conference begins. And just a minute, I'm going to give out that number as well. So if you're driving, if you can pull over and get a pen out and write down these numbers if you're so inclined. By the way, you can find past programs of the Taxi Link at thefightback.org, and this show will also be posted at, all one word, thefightback.org. On next week's program, we're scheduled to speak with George Lowe, a lobbyist who represents CMT, one of the competitors who bid on the 5-year, $35 million taxi smart meter contract that was awarded to Verifone. Mr. Lowe contends that the procurement process was flawed, and he said CMT intends to file a protest. That's coming up next week right here on the Taxi Link. I'd like to now give out the 3 telephone numbers, beginning with the number to call if you want to listen to the show over your phone, which a number of drivers have reported is preferable to listening on the radio. That number is 832-225-5330. Again, the number to listen to the program over your phone is 832-225-5330. I'd also like to give out the number to call into the program if you have a comment or question you'd like to share. That number is 703-534-9878. Again, that's 703-534-9878. 9878, and we'll be taking calls later in the hour. Lastly, I'd like to give out the number for the Amharic Taxi Phone Conference, which begins directly following this broadcast. The number to call to listen into the phone conference is 712-432-3100. Again, the number for the Amharic Phone Conference, which begins directly after this broadcast, is 712-432-3100. And then there's a code to enter into the phone conference, and that code is 140465. Again, that code is 140465. Before we get any further in tonight's program, Tony Norman and BK, I wanted to get your thoughts in general on this trend of big companies like Verifone, like Uber, moving in on the DC taxi business.
Well, it's not just a trend. I think it's a force activity. It's an intentional plan on the part of the big companies and on the part of the people who are supposedly regulating the taxi cab industry. I think the chairman is one of those who Chairman Linton is one of those who are bringing this in, and some and major council members are trying to bring the big companies in. And we know that New York is a city that is control the taxi cab industry, and they're trying to turn Washington and D.C. into something like New York. And as we've said many, many times on this program, Washington, D.C. is not New York, and we can't be New York. It is very important that you have independent entrepreneurs such as cab drivers who are independent and not just employees leasing or renting from a company, because it benefits the city, it benefits the business, it benefits the industry. So to bring in big company is to bring in monopolies, is to bring in price controls. And not only that, there's another negative effect. It's similar to the gentrification issue. It squeezes out minorities and other interest groups that don't have a voice or a seat at the table, because big companies tends to cater to larger people with larger income and wealthier people. And we know that minorities and ethnic groups are those, most of those are not in those economic groups. And so companies follow where the money is. They don't follow where the need is. They don't follow where the social service is. They don't try to provide a public service to the constituents. They only follow where the money is. And that's another negative effect of big companies.
That's the voice of Tony Norman, ANC Commissioner, Chairman of the Board of WPFW's Local Station Board. BK, the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, of which you are a member, was created shortly before the medallion fight. And this is an example of big companies attempting to really move in. That was beaten back as a result of drivers getting organized, talking to their passengers. It was a really grassroots movement. But talk about the dangers here of big companies pushing and having a taxi cab commission and city officials who are helping in the effort to bring these big companies into D.C.
Yes, thank you, Pitt. I don't know where to start, but we're really having a problem that's coming up towards us right now is, like they explained, that is Tony and Pete, the big companies are coming to take over. And we're not against the modernization. We are trying to fight as far as when they do this modernization, we want to be part of it and we want to have a say. And we've been trying to talk to them, to educate them. Surprisingly, a lot of times that they're not aware of a lot of things that we try to educate them and make them be aware of. But one thing that I'd like to stress is we need to be organized and engage. And if we don't do that, I think sooner or later they're going to do exactly what they wanted to do, which is take over, and we're not going to have our jobs. Thank you.
Thank you, BK. Do you have one more comment, Tony?
Yes, that's why it's very important that taxi cab drivers remain alert and listen to programs like this and to stay vigilant, even though it may seem like they may have a small victory. This is a campaign that's going to be a continuous fight, and we have to continue to fight it.
Tony, I also want to get your thoughts on a matter that may not be exactly a taxi issue per se, but is one that's being debated just about everywhere, and that's the situation regarding Mayor Vincent Gray, who some are calling on to resign in the wake of revelations of an alleged $650,000 shadow campaign during the 2010 mayoral election. That election saw Gray defeat the then-incumbent Mayor Adrian Fenty, who was better funded and favored by the downtown business community as well as by the media. Wednesday, Gray supporters gathered on the steps of the John A. Wilson Building to call for due process and not a rush to judgment, to call for Gray to resign, as council members David Catania, Muriel Bowser, and Mary Che have already done. Tony, you spoke at Wednesday's protest, which we'll be playing clips of momentarily, but first, can you explain why you were there and why you took the opportunity and the remarks that you made to critique the media?
Well, I think it's important that the mayor gets a fair play here. I mean, I think the media, just like they're trying to force the mayor out of office. It's clear that the major media endorse the opposing candidate. And from day one, since the mayor took office, they've alleged corruption before he was even sworn in. And they never let up, the Post and all of the major media. And so this is a classic example that before the federal investigation is concluded, they're trying to force a person to resign. And I think we need to let this play itself out and not the media and those opportunist council members who have political ambitions to jump on top of this. I think this is in somewhat also related to the taxicab issue. I think the mayor can see now, just like the media went after the taxicab drivers without a fair play, without a fair hearing, just how the media can just take a narrative and a story and run with it. Just like they did taxicab drivers beating up passengers, taxicab drivers just horrible at Union Station, doing all these horrible things, writing these editorials. I think the mayor is getting a little taste of unfair media, misinformed media. And I know a lot of taxicab drivers are upset with the mayor. I think a lot of the things the mayor did with this taxicab reform is just from out of pure lack of knowledge about the taxicab industry. And that's something we have to continue to educate him. I think he's getting information from Litton, and this chairman has no sympathy for any taxicab drivers. He don't even know about the industry. I don't even think he's familiar with the industry. He's being fed by the big companies. He's reading their narrative, who is relating it to the mayor, and the mayor is taking it like this is reform, same with Mary Shea. They are just misinformed on this. But it all gets back to, I think the mayor is getting a little taste. It's when the media can run wild when you don't go the way the media wants. Is this town going to be run by the citizens, or is it going to be run by the major media company? Because once the Post puts something out, all the other media outlets run with it. So I think this is the time, like I said, that we need to support the mayor and let this thing play itself out. Just support the mayor and at least giving him a fair play, just like we want the mayor to give taxicab drivers a fair opportunity to be heard. And I think he should learn from this.
BK, do you want to add anything?
No, I fully agree. Maybe he's getting a fair, like Tony said, he's getting a test of it. Absolutely, I do. I really do. I concur with him as everything that he said. We have to play it out. We have to let it play it out. Yes, I do.
I want to now turn to several clips from Wednesday's protest in support of Mayor Gray, which was organized by Reverends Graylin Hagler of Plymouth Congregational United Church of Christ and Willie Wilson of Union Temple Baptist Church. We begin with Johnny Barnes, the former executive director of the ACLU of the nation's capital. Barnes said, "If I had the U.S. Attorney's Office, I could convict. If I had the apparatus of the U.S. Attorney's Office, I could convict the Pope."
Because you associate with people who might have problems doesn't make you a bad person. Guilt by association is not the way we do things here. If that was the case, Martin Luther King Jr. would have been guilty because all of us did something wrong. The Pope would be guilty because all of us did something wrong. If I had the apparatus of the U.S. Attorney's Office, I could convict the Pope.
That was Johnny Barnes, who also said, "Shame on you, David Catania, Councilmember Che, and Jim Graham, who are attorneys, and they should know better than to call for the resignation without due process." We continue with Johnny Barnes from Wednesday's protest.
Everyone is entitled to what the Constitution commands, and for those of us who are lawyers who would so easily cast aside cherished constitutional principles, shame on you, Mary J. Right. You're supposed to be a constitutional law professor. Mm. Right. Shame on you, David Catania, with a prestigious local law firm.
Shame
on you, Jim Graham, supposed to be a lawyer. Now, I don't put Muriel Bowser in the same category as those three, because she's different. She who knows not and knows not that she knows not, we excuse her. Shame on you, those lawyers, for saying that Mayor Gray should not have the same thing that everybody else has. Innocence until proven guilty. Let the process work. It's called due process. That's what the Constitution requires. That's what it demands. All of us are entitled to it. Mayor Gray is subject to nothing less. And I'll tell you, if you're not part of the solution on this one, you're part of the problem, because the distraction is not Mayor Gray. The distraction are those who would urge the U.S. Attorney's Office and others to do other than what the Constitution demands. And I tell you, in the end, truth crushed to the earth shall rise again, because the arc of justice bends towards truth and the power of the people, Washington Post, is stronger than the people in power.
All right.
The power of the people, Washington Post, is stronger than the people of power. That was Johnny Barnes, the former executive director of the ACLU, the nation's capital, speaking Wednesday outside the John A. Wilson building. One slight correction: Councilmember David Catania doesn't work for a law firm any longer. He did several years ago, but instead works for the contracting firm MC Dean, which has done more than $100 million in business with the district. In addition to his $125,000 council salary, Catania earns $240,000 a year as vice president for corporate strategy for MC Dean. Also speaking at the protest in support of Mayor Gray was activist Richard Rosendahl. He had this to say.
Justice should not be conducted by a series of slow, convenient leaks, stirring up a media feeding frenzy.
That's right.
Does not serve the cause of our city or of justice.
That's right.
But I do feel loyalty, enough loyalty and respect, and the first word, the key word is respect,
yes,
for my longtime ally, not a lifelong politician, Vince Gray, to afford him the same expectation that every other citizen of this country,
that's
especially
right,
if they're residents of the 50 states,
right,
take for granted. Thank you.
That was Richard Rosendahl speaking at Wednesday's protest in support of Mayor Vincent Gray. Taxi Link co-host Tony Norman also spoke, and in his remarks, he challenged the media. Tony was introduced by Reverend Willie Wilson.
We have an even louder voice in terms of the chairman of WPFW Radio. I'm going to ask him to just come and have a word this time, then we're ready to close out.
Thank you. My name is Tony Norman. I also chair WPFW Independent Radio, local station board. And I think we need independent media to cover these stories. What we see now is the press doing just one press release, and they're all carrying the same story. I'm also an ANC commissioner, and I know there's a lot of ANC commissioners out here today. Nobody interviewed any of the ANC commissioners. And we're here to say that let this thing play itself out. We heard three council members ask for a resignation. I want these other council members to speak out. You are leaders in this city. We want business leaders to speak out. What is your position? Because if they come after you, you'll be saying the same thing. Let the investigation play itself out. And I want to promote independent media. We are a listener-sponsored radio station.
Yes.
We take no commercial advertisements.
Yes.
Therefore, we can speak. We did a poll on the radio with call-ins. All of our calls supported this mayor. And I want to ask for all independent media, We Act, and all other radio stations, interview independent people. It's time to support independent media. And I want to say quite unequivocally that we support this mayor and we support anybody who has been accused without giving a fair due process and a fair hearing.
Thank you.
That was Tony Norman speaking Wednesday in front of the steps of the John A. Wilson building. Also on Wednesday, the D.C. Taxicab Commission held a meeting on the upcoming surcharge, which may be as much as 50 cents per ride. In his remarks, Ron Linton, the chairman of the Taxicab Commission, discussed some of the changes made to Councilmember Mary Chase's taxi overhaul legislation, which was recently passed by the council. For coverage of this legislation, visit thefightback.org. While Linton didn't praise the Small Business Association for its efforts to amend Chase's bill, he did mention two of the very things SBA pushed hard to have changed, including preventing drivers from having the troubled taxicab commission track them in real time, as well as having drivers pay for the installation of the smart meters. Here are Linton's remarks, which were recorded by the SBA's Will Martin.
The city council has set in law a number of items that must be done and must be done through this commission. This is an effort to begin to meet those requirements, and I want to make sure that it is clear that in providing the taxi smart meter system, which will be acquired on a leasing basis from the Verifone Corporation and installed in the 6,500 plus or minus vehicles licensed to be taxi operations in the District of Columbia, there will be no charges levied upon owners or drivers of those vehicles, including the installation charge. I want to also address the issue of tracking. There is a concern among drivers expressed to me, and I've explained to them. There is no real-time registration of the GPS until that meter is on. The meter, the real-time identification of where the vehicle is a safety issue. It's not a regulatory issue. The results of that real-time identification area go to 911 and 311, not to the commission. This is the emergency legislation that will go into effect on the 27th to allow this beginning of the installations. However, while we have nothing to say, that is, the commission has nothing to say about whether it will be done or won't be done, we do have a lot to say about the mechanics and the methodology. So there will be scheduled a public hearing on the proposed regulation that will supplant the emergency regulation. And that public hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012, at 10 a.m. here in this room.
That was D.C. Taxi Cab Commission Chairman Ron Litton speaking Wednesday at 441 4th Street at 1 Judiciary Square at a meeting of the Taxi Cab Commission. Litton mentioned an upcoming public hearing on August 22nd regarding the council's efforts to introduce a new bill to replace the recently passed emergency legislation that allowed the district to move forward with its five-year, $35 million contract with Verifone. On next week's program, we're scheduled to be joined by George Lowe, a lobbyist with CMT, one of the seven companies that unsuccessfully bid on the smart meter contract. Lowe says the procurement process was flawed, and CMT will be protesting the contract that has been awarded to Verifone. That's coming up next week here on the Taxi Link. On news of Verifone's contract with DC, which news report said may be worth as much as $45 million, company shares rose by as much as 11%. In addition to Verifone, another big company that has moved in on the DC taxicab business is Uber, the largely unregulated taxi limousine service. An A1 story in Wednesday's Washington Post entitled "Taxi to the Poorhouse" laid out some of drivers' concerns with the unfair playing field. But yesterday on the Kojo Nambi show on WAMU, at-large council member David Catania continued his efforts to promote Uber while putting down drivers. Catania responded to a caller named Melville.
Just goes to show you how the city council, again, continues to favor special interests, and that was a clear-cut example.
Allow me
right
to have
there.
David Catania respond.
Well, thank you, Melville, for that comment. I am not a customer. I have used Uber, but I don't have an account. I've been in a car with friends of mine who have used it, and I find it to be an efficient, attractive service. It isn't true that we don't regulate Uber. We regulate the sedans that Uber uses, so it's not an entirely unregulated industry. And as far as special interest goes, I think, you know, the special interest was illustrated by the 5,000 citizens who commented and did not want us to overregulate or kill or disqualify or make Uber illegal.
That was David Catania appearing on WAMU. He also had this to say.
But, you know, here's the thing. I mean, for the taxi industry in particular, what I would hope, and I think we have a very good industry, we have many very good drivers, but rather than, you know, attack Uber and the use of mobility technology, I would hope that the taxi industry would embrace it and would become competitive with Uber to provide a good product at a good price, provide the customer what they want, and you will succeed. But to hang on to a relic of the way things used to be and think that through regulation or manipulation of the political process, you can kill off the competition is ultimately bad for what the customer wants and for your industry.
That was at-large councilmember David Catania appearing yesterday on the Kojo show on WAMU. Also yesterday on another radio station, Pacifica Radio's WPFW 89.3 FM, Tony Norman and I joined WPFW General Manager John Hughes on Manager's Mailbox. Makonnen Abel Siyum, whose name is known to regular listeners of this program. He called in to Manager's Mailbox and had this to say.
Well, I would like to thank WPFW on behalf of fellow cab drivers. I believe WPFW is a voice of DC cab drivers by reporting the struggle we are making every single day. And other don't cover the issue fairly. And we really appreciate and continue to support WPFW.
Well, we certainly appreciate you. We've had terrific support from our cab drivers. Tony and Pete, I know that you have an abundance of taxi cab driver stories.
Yeah, they've been very supportive. They supported us in the last pledge drive, and some are going to be very supportive. They've even started pledging for the upcoming pledge drive. So we owe a great deal to the taxi cab drivers that turn on WPFW. And actually, one of them approached me, several of them, to say they wanted stickers with WPFW to put inside their cabs.
Well, I would submit we not only want stickers on the inside of the cab, we want stickers on the outside of the cab. We want to proclaim the service of WPFW far and wide. Taxicab drivers have been a terrific source of support.
Yeah, and cab drivers can't put the stickers on the outside, but they can put it inside their cabs, and they have been a terrific source of support, John. And this station is a unique voice, and the media coverage about what's happening with taxi cab drivers, as well as what's happening with the selective coverage of the mayor, as a couple callers have pointed out, is highly problematic. There was a page A1 story above the fold this week, and it had this sentence in it: DC cabbies, always a cranky bunch, now waver between outrage and despair. They don't really get into why drivers are upset. They just cover them once major legislation is being done to them, and then say they're cranky. A cranky bunch, which I think is highly unfair, and PFW has been much more even-handed in allowing driver voices to come through. That was WPFW General Manager John Hughes, along with WPFW Local Station Board Chair Tony Norman and myself, responding to a call from McConan Abel Sium. We'll be speaking with McConan later in the program, and Tony and I will be joining McConan at the gas station at 15th and U Streets Northwest directly following this program. We'll be at the gas station from 9 to 10:30 p.m., so come join us there tonight. If you want to become a member of WPFW, or if you just like to say hello, we'll be at 15th and U tonight, as we are each Saturday night after the program from 9 to 10:30 p.m. And we'll touch on this a bit more, Tony Norman, but if you want to say a word about the importance of WPFW, and we'll be at the gas station in just 9 to 10:30 tonight.
Well, it gets back to the importance of independent media, and I think the mayor is beginning to appreciate that too. You need a media that is not dominated and not influenced by corporate interests. And that's why it's important that taxicab drivers become members of WPFW, because you become a stakeholder and decide what is reported on. And that's why it's only $25 a year. And we would really, really, it's very important that you do that. And I think actually we're going to have the mayor on. I think he's beginning to realize the importance of WPFW, because he's coming on our station in about a week. And he's beginning to realize the importance of independent media now that the media has gotten on his backside and that they're not independent. So I think he's going to be a strong supporter of WPFW and coming out and support us. And I think he might even reverse himself and become a strong supporter of taxicab drivers now that he sees that they're coming after him.
We're going to go to a clip of a recent interview that I did on Voice of Russia Radio directly following the passage of Mary Che's taxi overhaul, some of the problems of that legislation, but I wanted to give out the number to call into the show. The last 15-20 minutes, we're going to open up the phone lines for anyone who wants to call in. And let me, before I don't want to forget to do this, thank Will Martin, who will be answering those calls and does so much. He's done reporting, he's worked at Occupy DC, he's working with the Small Business Association. And if this show sounds well run, as it does each week, that's the work of engineer Mark Taylor. I want to give out that number again to call in to the program, and we're not going to take calls. It'll be another about 10 minutes, but let me give out that number. It's 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. A number of drivers have stopped and said we've got to leave more time to open up the phone line, so we're doing that, and in about 10 minutes, we're going to head to the phones and take any comments, questions, concerns that you have, including and not just DC drivers. We want to reach out to Montgomery County. We want to reach out to Prince George's County. We broadcast here from Falls Church. We want to know what's happening with Arlington and drivers in Alexandria who have organized through Tenants and Workers United. So we want to know what's going on in other jurisdictions as well. Let's turn now to a Voice of Russia interview I did with Jamila Bey. She wanted to know what was in Mary Chase taxi overhaul bill. While the press coverage, you know, promoted it and said how wonderful it was, there are some very serious concerns and some very significant gains that the Small Business Association of DC taxi cab drivers were able to achieve. We mentioned earlier about tracking not being in real time, but there are several others. Here's that interview.
Tell me about this vote. Now, this was the second time council approved Councilwoman Mary Chase's measure, which would bring standardization to taxi cabs running in the District of Columbia.
I want to begin with an element that has not been covered at all, just to give a sense of how much drivers are excluded and really targeted by the political process. It's true this did bring standardization, and some of that is needed. For example, credit cards in all taxi cabs are something that, you know, in the 21st century is needed, and that hasn't happened in the district. But there's a lot more at play here. There's some serious money at play, and drivers are seriously financially hurting. And this does really little to nothing to address that. Just one example of a part of the bill that has not been discussed is that there's something called the Taxi Cab Commission, which has oversight of taxi cabs in the majority of instances. The council only weighs in when you're really overhauling, as it's the case here, and making major policy changes. And the Taxi Cab Commission has 9 members, and it's called for that there be 3 industry representatives from the taxi cab industry. And it's been operating illegally because there have not been 3 industry representatives for the longest time. In fact, none until recently, over the last couple of years. Now there are 2. And Mary Che, who's a constitutional scholar, she seeks to and now has been successful at codifying the commission's heretofore legal composition by redefining industry to mean taxi cab or hospitality industry. So that means that all the commissioners can be from the they can be 6 public members and the others can be from the hospitality industry. Now, the hospitality industry is a major player in the District of Columbia. D.C. is a major tourist destination, and the hospitality industry gets what it wants. And it really sees taxi cab drivers, I think, much like it sees hotel workers, people who clean the rooms, which is just cheap labor. And there's tremendous money here, and there's tremendous potential for drivers to be treated and to make a living wage. I think this is an example that just that one element, which has not been covered, of how drivers fared in this legislation.
So drivers weren't given adequate representation, so that these policy changes really didn't consider their points of view, some would argue, and they haven't had literally a place at the table in years.
That's right. Now there are 2 drivers on the commission, but it's been a couple of years and all these policies, you know, the commission's moved forward with a number of policies with absolutely no driver input, no drivers on the commission. And again, that was illegal. And now Mary Che has now been successful. The bill will go to Congress and back, but it looks like she's been successful at making that legal. And then when you look at what she pushed through, well, it's going to install credit card readers in every cab. Okay, passengers want that. It's also going to install, like in New York, a screen in the back, which, by the way, is deeply unpopular in New York, so much so that the Taxi and Limousine Commission has moved away from it most recently. And that screen is going to play ads all day long. Drivers who are going to place this screen and have to hear these ads all day long in their own personal cars will see precisely none of the revenue that is generated from those ads.
Who is seeing the revenue from those ads?
Verifone, which is the sole contractor that will be installing all of these screens and credit card readers and GPS tracking device, and the tracking is another major issue, and the Taxi Cab Commission. They will split the revenue. And the Taxi Cab Commission is known to be hostile to drivers, so you have drivers who are poor, who are low income, who are working too many hours and making too little money. They're having to fund a commission which is very hostile to them, and to make Verifone, it's a 5-year, $35 million contract that Verifone signed, and also subsidizing the hospitality industry. So the working poor are subsidizing a lot of people, but they're not getting a fair deal here.
Now, is it possible that a driver says, I opt out of the Verifone system. I am happy to use a smartphone with a card reader, so it provides the same service to my passengers, but I just don't want Verifone. Is there any possibility that an exception could be made in the case of a driver who so argues?
Well, your point is the point that the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, which represents about 3,000 drivers, independent owner-operator, driver-owned companies, came together. They defeated a medallion bill, and they pushed back hard on this bill and were successful at making some changes. But that was exactly their point, and your point was also echoed by the Washington Post, which said, look, if you're going to have to do this, why don't you set the standards and tell every driver you have by this date certain to make these things happen and let them go out into the marketplace and figure out which companies they choose to use. But instead, they chose to select one company. I should say the other serious competitor is looking at filing a challenge to the whole process. They say it is being highly flawed and problematic, and we'll see how that plays out. But no, there is no option. Drivers at the moment must get the Verifone equipment installed, I think, by the end of the year.
What else is addressed in the standardization? Is it just a matter of all the taxi cabs should be of a certain color, or does it go deeper than that?
Well, it does address color, and they'll be grandfathered in, but then as the new cabs come online, they'll be one color, which has never been a major issue for drivers. There have been issues that have been of more significance to drivers. Like, for example, Uber, which I think most people hadn't heard of in D.C. Until the last couple of weeks. And Uber is a high-end sedan service. They're basically unregulated, so they can be a limo company, and then when times are slow, they could pick someone up and operate like a cab. So they can cut into taxi cab business and also charge the high rates as a limousine service. They're not being regulated as taxi cabs, however, and Mary Che attempted to regulate them at yesterday's legislative session, but there was enormous pushback, at least online. Thousands and thousands and thousands of emails were sent. And so now Uber will be unregulated between now and in December.
Nope.
And they'll be allowed to just continue to do as they are, even though taxi cabs are highly regulated. So this is not a level playing field.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the Uber issue. You're right. A lot of people probably had never heard of Uber, didn't know what they were. And there had been a few internet-based campaigns concerning this particular company and what some argued was the privileging of one company. And also, what role should the DC Commission play in privileging or not a particular startup? Can you talk a little bit about that aspect of this debate?
And it's not even just privileging one company. It's really just privileging a class of people. This is such a big deal because it impacts upper-income people. But if drivers are unable to make their rent, if drivers are being treated so poorly by hack inspectors or taxi inspectors that are, as drivers report, out of control at times, no matter how much suffering you have, the 6,500 or the 8,000, it's never gets the different numbers at different times, taxi cab drivers who are largely originate from another country, who are citizens, most cases here in the U.S., no matter what suffering they go through, that doesn't seem to count. But if you prevent a high-end sedan or you try to regulate a high-end sedan service, then all hell breaks loose. So I think you have a media that is acutely sensitive to the needs of the upper income and very desensitized, doesn't even register to them the pain of people crying out who are the working poor of this country. And I think that was exemplified yesterday where there was extensive debate about Uber, which I thought was a bit much. And there was really no talk about how drivers continue to be just an afterthought in an industry that could not exist without them.
What are the drivers saying right now? We've very recently seen the fuel surcharge expire. There's a dollar less that each driver's making per trip.
And ironically, it expired at a time when prices were higher than when it had been implemented.
So they're feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
What are the drivers saying as far as what their next steps need to be?
Well, let me also say that the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers won some major achievements. For example, the initial legislation, well, it had been amended to say that cab companies needed to have 10% of their fleet be wheelchair accessible. Now, everyone is for people who are handicapped being able to traverse the city, and there's a need for handicapped cabs for sure. But again, the burden shouldn't be placed on low-income drivers. The government needs to step in. That, as I see it, is the role of the government to help the most vulnerable. But taxi cab drivers are the most vulnerable. So they had this onerous restriction. A new handicap accessible vehicle goes for about $40,000. So if you're talking about 10% of your fleet being accessible, let's say you had a small, there's a lot of companies, let's say you had a company with 100 cabs, that means 10 cabs needed to be wheelchair accessible. That means you're dropping $400,000. These companies exist on the margins. So that was a very real threat to putting a lot of these companies out of business. That was amended to not include, you see, DC is unique. It's not like New York where you have medallions and the medallions go for about $1 million and you have big companies that move in and buy up these medallions and turn drivers into essentially modern day sharecroppers. And there's a lot of great organizing going on in New York with the New York Taxi Workers Alliance. In DC, it's independent owner operators. And so there's an opportunity for drivers to make a living, especially if the rates were at a decent level. And I think a lot of what's going on here is an attempt to move big companies in where now you have independent owner operators. And so that's a very scary trend. And the Small Business Association was able to beat back this 10% and bring it down and not include and to exclude the associations, which are basically independent owners that come together. Those are no longer going to be tied to that restriction. And there were a couple other of major changes that drivers were able to succeed at getting rolled back, including all these cabs will have GPS tracking and also take your credit card. So the Taxi Cab Commission, which is an incredibly troubled agency, would get both real-time GPS tracking so they could track drivers, but they could also potentially track passengers because they also have the credit card, so they could tie your credit card with where that cab was. But drivers got that pushed back so that they would not be getting that data in real time and the data will be anonymous. So drivers are the ones that pushed this back, a real gain for both drivers and passengers as far as civil liberty protections.
Is there anything more? Where do we go from here?
Well, drivers, I think, are going to continue to organize. I think they will be installing all of this new equipment. And I think there's always a push from the big companies that are and have been looking to turn drivers from independent owner operators into modern day sharecroppers. And so there will be a push for medallions, there always is. And there will be push for other companies like Verifone to come in and eat up just the gall of the district government and this company Verifone to put hardworking drivers, to make them listen to these ads all day long, to make millions of dollars off of these ads that drivers have to hear. And drivers don't get any of this money. So this is the type of thing that I think you'll continue to see. But with the organizing that you're seeing from drivers, with the organizing from the Small Business Association, drivers have the chance to roll back the worst of these measures and also to make some serious gains in the years ahead and to protect their industry, to keep it independent owner-operator. But the fight will be the same one. This may, you know, it could depress drivers and you could see a fragmenting of the organization. It could do just the opposite and inspire more drivers to get involved. You know, it's kind of an effrontery that they'll have to listen to these ads in the coming years all day, every day. And I suppose that could be a galvanizing measure. But as in all matters, only time will tell.
Thanks.
That was a recent interview I did on Voice of Russia Radio, which airs in D.C. and New York with reporter Jamila Bey. And this is the Taxi Link. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, joined by my co-host, ANC Commissioner Tony Norman, as well as by BK Burhi, who is a board member of the Small Business Association. And we're opening up the phone lines and the number to call. If you have a comment, question, whatever you have to share, the number is 703-534-9878. Again, that's 703-534-9878. And Adis called up, and he wasn't able to stay on the line, but he asked a question. He wanted to know about what was said at Wednesday's meeting of the Taxi Cab Commission. I wasn't there. I was down at the council at the protest we played earlier, some of the clips of people who are calling on the calls for Mayor Gray to resign. They want to call on that to stop. I was at that protest, but Will Martin, who's been working with the Small Business Association, was there. So Adis was asking about Chapter 6 and 7 of Title 31, as well as what's going on with the dome lights, which, as I understand it, they're going to be charged. Initially, they were going to charge drivers for the installation of the smart meters. With enough protest, they backed off of that, but are now saying drivers have to pay, what, $150 to $200 in order to install these new dome lights.
That's exactly right. When I was at the meeting last Wednesday, it lasted for less than 10 minutes, and unfortunately, a lot of people really don't know what these dome lights entail. We do have a few details about what's outlined in the Mary Che bill. For example, we do know that they'll indicate whether a cab is in service or not. But other than that, we really don't know who's contracted to make them, who will be selling them, those sorts of things. And we will try and figure out that out in the future. But as I said before, there are very, very few details about what exactly the dome lights are, who makes them, and so forth.
Well, thank you, Will, and thanks for your work. That's kind of interesting, a public meeting that lasts less than 10 minutes. Tony Norman, you've been active for quite some time. You're an ANC commissioner. How does this sit with you?
Well, it's just Chairman Linton. It's just typical of Linton. The man is autocratic. He's a tyrant. And that's the way he run things. It's like that's why you have a taxicab commission. A commission votes on things, but Linton, this guy, just makes decisions. So a lot of commissioners on that commission are going to have to make objections to this guy. He's just out of control. He does not respect taxicab drivers. The guy comes in, he has a meeting for really, I understand it was only 6 minutes. Decides what he's going to do and roll out. Why don't you just get rid of the commission and just call it the Linton committee? And just let him come in and just do what he want to do, because he doesn't respect the commission. He doesn't respect the taxicab driver. This guy is just out of control, and he doesn't really truly. And I'm going to tell people he does not really understand the taxicab industry. He gets his narrative and his story from people in the industry. He has no background in taxicab industry, so he's just coming there heavy handed and just making all these arbitrary rulings and it's the Linton ruling. These are not the commission that are ruling on this. And somebody needs to look into this. His actions need to be reviewed.
He's the same individual who had, when he first came on, before Mary Che changed the law such that now the commission's heretofore illegal composition, which is you had to have three industry members and actually had to be from the taxicab industry, not the hospitality and transportation industry, which is how the law has been rewritten. So drivers can be completely excluded from the commission. But when he first came on, the law was very clear in that you had to have three taxicab industry members. He said to follow the law, to allow taxicab commission representatives to sit on the commission would be like having a dictatorship.
Yeah, in this instance, he's the dictator. But and dictating the what he wants on the taxicab industry, at least not what he wants. He's just passing through what others may want. And so this guy is just he's just out of control. He does not respect. He even said to me he doesn't even want taxicab drivers on the commission. He said that directly to me, and he said this to the public. This guy does not respect independent taxicab drivers.
We've got a couple calls on the line. BK, do you have anything you want to add before we turn to the callers?
No, go right ahead.
Welcome, Pete Harmon.
Yes. Hello. How you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Very good. How you doing, Peter? Thanks for having me on. Listen, I want to talk to you about the Fairphone smart chip meter. This is a lot more serious than what people realize. This is very. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Keep going.
Yeah. This is basically almost a virtual taxi medallion. Because it does everything a taxi medallion does. It will control our operation of our taxi. They can turn our meter off anytime they want. New York City, they use this system, and they do taxi violation summons through the mail. You will be able to get a ticket for driving too slow, which is considered loitering if you stop. You can even get a ticket for driving too fast. You can issue moving violations. But the main thing is it can turn you off. They will be charging you the tax that they call it unincorporated. Business tax of 9.8%. They'll be taking that. That's one of the major reasons they want to have it in there, is they can see how much income you're making and charge you 9.8%. If you don't pay it, your license isn't renewed. Obviously, they can collect it because they're going to collect the 50 cents from each passenger to pay for this system. Another question about this system is why does it cost so much money? I have a system in my taxi that takes credit cards. Has a navigation system. People can go on the internet, do whatever they want, make dinner reservations, does a lot more than this. It only costs $300 per cab, and this system costs $3,500.
We got a couple other calls, Pete, so if you want to wrap up.
I'll wrap up. And also, I don't think it's right we shouldn't be defending Gray. When he was running for office, I asked him point blank if he can guarantee his ownership rights of our cabs. He refused to answer the question. He understands the issue since he was a little boy riding around his daddy's taxi. He wants us out of business. The biggest corruption is the fact that they can sell this, take this electronic medallion and a switch over to big companies, each of these medallions could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, they call it a medallion or not. They would have the control over our business. And I think drivers need to realize. And by the way, we are going to be having a meeting on July 30th at 7611 Piney Branch Road, Silver Spring, Maryland, between 1 and 5 p.m. To talk about this issue. This will put us all out of business and everything else that's in the bill. That is the whole idea, to put us all out of business and make us work for somebody else.
Thank you very much, Pete Harmon. BK, Tony, any quick response before we go to the other callers?
Yeah, I generally agree with most of what he's saying, but I think we need to, this is an opportunity to hold the mayor, now that they're after him, to do the things that he wasn't doing for taxi cab drivers. I think we can take advantage of that now.
Let's go to some of the other callers that we have on the line. If you want to join the conversation, 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. We have 10 minutes left and got some phone lines open. Caller, welcome to the Taxi Link.
Yes, I just want to comment here. WPFW they have a website, so for some of us who don't have the time to come to 15 Indy Street, why don't we pay them online and we can send them the membership fee? They have PO Box. Is that okay?
Actually, it's better to try to contact one of us. That way we can have direct membership, because sometimes the online, it takes a while for processing. So this is something we got to get done right away. So if you can do that, it's better to contact me or Pete or come to 15th and you. We'll come to you if we have to make it more convenient. But we got to move quickly on this because things are moving fast.
Yeah, online works, but we come in, you know, we're at 15th and you, and McConan, anyone know him? He's going to call in shortly and can give out his number and can contact him. We can do it, because a lot of the times people say we're going to do it online and then it's hard to get to. So yeah, we'll be there tonight. We're there each Saturday, and you can get in touch with us throughout the week. We have a couple other callers. Welcome to, sorry if I cut you off, caller. Welcome to the Taxi Link. Caller, can you hear me?
This me?
Yes, welcome.
Hey, hi, this is McConan. I just heard what you say. I would encourage everybody to join, WPFW. And as you said, we're going to be at 15 and you gas station from 9 to 4, 10. So if anybody want to come, we'll be there fill the form.
Thanks, McConan, and thanks for all your work. And it was good to hear your voice on Manager's Mailbox on WPFW yesterday morning.
Yes, as I said, we have to encourage a lot of drivers. We have to push this thing. As you said, we got a few days left, a few weeks. So, I would encourage everybody.
Thanks, McConan. Looking forward to seeing you shortly, starting at 9 p.m. at 15th and U. We're going to head down to there just after the show. We're broadcast here on WST 1120 AM, which actually used to be broadcast from D.C. at the 930 Club, is it? But now we're out in Falls Church. That was some years ago. It was down there, as I understand it. The number again, 703-534-9878. If you have any questions, comments for us, you can give us a call. And again, this program will be posted at thefightback.org for anyone who wants more information. And next week, one of the things that we're going to discuss is go through exactly what the Taxicab Commission, not Mary Chase Bill, which did a lot of things, but it didn't deal with age limits. And a number of drivers want specific information about which cars have to be off the road by when. So that's something we're going to be taking a look at next week in detail, as well as speaking with George Lowe about this contract with Verifone. He's raised some questions about the legitimacy of the contracting process, which was handled by the Taxi Cab Commission, which we know to be a troubled agency.
Yeah, also it's the backwards process. Linton just announced that they're going to have a hearing on the contract when they've already voted on the contract and approved this person to do the contract and their emergency legislation. They should have held the hearing first. They had plenty of opportunity to hear from cab drivers to hold this hearing. So it shows you they've already gotten a contract. They've already decided what they're going to do. And now they want your input after they've selected the company that they really didn't put up for competitive bid. So it's all a dog and pony show. So, and I think when people go to that hearing, they need to let them know this, because not only object to the contract, but why are you bringing this contract now to tell us, you know, I come to you and say, I already bought the house, and here's the house you're going to be staying in. Could you please give me your input now?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I just got a text message from Michelle Jaime, who is a board member like yourself, BK, of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. And he said that folks can contact any SBA board member if they want to become a member of WPFW.
That's correct. Yes. That is very correct. Yes. You can contact me too.
Great. And we have another caller on the line. Welcome to the Taxi Link.
Yes. Is that me?
It is. Welcome.
Yes. I have a question regarding just what is the law firm looking at doing. I haven't heard anything where there was possibility of them intervening in any of these activities that's being done. I'd take the answer off the air, but I just wonder, is the law firm looking at anything that might be able to shortcut some of these, what seems to be rather drastic moves that we're facing? Thank you.
Thank you so much for the call. Let me put that to BK Burhee, who is a member of the Small Business Association, and I'll also put that to Tony Norman. BK.
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, sorry. We don't have headphones for you. The question was, that what is the law firm doing regarding all that's taking place?
Right now, the law firm, they're telling us, of course, they represent the DCPTA and Dominion, but what they're telling us, they're looking into it. So they don't know, and we don't know as to what they're going to do, but they're looking into it. If there is any legal ground where they can challenge it.
Tony Norman, do you want to add anything?
There are some things. They've already filed a lawsuit that's relevant to some of this, and that was that the commission making decisions without taxicab representatives. They're questioning the functioning and the functionality of the taxicab commission itself. These are things that are already in court. Now, as for the legislation, that's the question that has to be asked. Will they get involved, and what's the impact of this legislation, or will the Small Business Association work with them or look for other counsel?
We have one other caller on the line. We might have time for another caller. Again, the number is 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. Caller, welcome to the Taxi Link.
Peter, Tony, how you all doing? This is Abdul. You know, I talk to you often in the gas station. I would just like to point out a couple of quick things to callers and other taxi cab drivers that they may or may not be aware of. It was recently in the paper about former Mayor Fenty, if he was in office, he would be voted in, et cetera, et cetera. I just want to go back real quick and point out that a lot of this legislation dealing with the medallion bill, et cetera, started with him and all his trips to New York and sitting down with Mayor Bloomberg, et cetera. At worst, Mayor Gray is just following through. But this is where a lot of this came from, and this is where a lot of our problems with the Tax Cab Commission came from in the first place of recent time, dealing with this medallion issue, the, you know, color code scheme, et cetera. I want to go on because I want to be fair to allow another caller to get in. And
no, just go ahead.
On a couple of quick points.
Go, Abdul. Go,
David Catania is not being totally truthful, and I just, because he clearly stated that he serviced or was a customer himself of Uber, not just riding with someone. I want to move on to say also, think about this. If the cab drivers united and can get 5,000 emails going to their office for a particular thing, then if it's just that simple, then I think we need to unite and get the emails going like this, because he's saying this is why he didn't want to stifle Uber, because of 5,000 emails. Now, he being a lawyer, that does not constitute law, saying 5,000 people wrote an email. You understand what I'm saying? That does not necessarily pass law. I understand that it's suggesting that there was support for a particular thing. But all these people, the Mary Trades, the Catanias, the others on the council who are lawyers, they are sound like they are working from a, if you wish, personal point of view and not per se quoting law. I just wanted to say one more quick thing. When Tony was talking earlier in the program about the law and the Constitution as regards a person being innocent until proven guilty. Let's go back to just a year ago when Jim Graham and his top aide went to jail for the, you know, quote, Ethiopian and taking the envelope, you know, issue. And Jim Graham said he didn't know anything about it. So, I mean, you understand my vibe there insofar as association and people that work under you and who knew what and when and who did go to jail and who didn't go to jail. So, you know, with that, I'll leave that for now because, again, I want to leave space for one more caller to call in. Thank you, gentlemen. I'll see you all up on 15th Street. Y'all have a blessed evening.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Abdul. It's always great to see you at 15th and U, and it's great to hear your voice. We are out of time, but we're going to go a couple minutes over. We have one more caller, so we'll get to that caller. Welcome to the Taxi Link.
This is me, Pete.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, Pete. Hi, Tony. This is David.
Hey, David.
I'm trying to campaign for the virtue of W. The thing is so important. The 5,000 people, behalf of Uber, if they sent email, the only way we have voice when we became member of WTFW. The drivers, they have to understand. This fight, it's about campaigning public awareness. These people, they're doing on Washington Post. They're campaigning on Washington Post. They're campaigning on so many networks. And we cannot give them opportunity. We have to be members. And this member, when we are a member, we're going to be, we have a voice to communicate directly to DC residents and to make public behalf of us, to rally behind us. So let's please, please, let's be member. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you so much, David. And we're going to keep opening up the phone lines in the weeks to come. We've come up on the end of the hour, even gone over it a little bit. I want to thank Mark Taylor for his engineering. Again, I want to thank Will Martin. I want to get final thoughts from BK and from Tony Norman. And then I'll give out one final time the telephone number to the Taxi Amharic phone conference, which is beginning now as we speak. But BK, any final thoughts that you care to share? And it's great to have you. First time having you on the show.
Thank you. First, I'd like to say thanks for Pete and Tony for everything that they're doing with us to get our case. And I also wanted to say all the drivers, try to tell all other drivers to get involved and get engaged and listen to the radio and whatever they can do to get it better to what we're doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And not just the radio, for drivers who speak Amharic, the phone conference is beginning right now. And so you can tune into that by dialing 712-432-3100, and the extension and the code is 140465. Tony Norman, your chair of WPFW's local station board, I'm privileged to serve on that board with you as well. You're an ANC commissioner. We heard you talking out on the steps of the DC Council, calling for those who are calling for Mayor Gray, to saying that that is premature. Any final thoughts that you care to share?
Just to say, that's why we need independent media. Come to 15th and U and become a member. It's only $25 a year. That's very important. And I want to quickly say, it's not that we're big Gray supporters. I'm simply saying that let's let the process play itself out to see who's guilty, who's innocent. Because as one of the callers pointed out, if you get rid of this, these people want Fenty back in. Let's make no mistake about what's going on here. And if you think Gray was bad, just think when they put Fenty back in. That's what they want. So that's what's going on here. And also, one other thing about this Catania and these 5,000 emails, which I think is disingenuous and totally disrespectful for him to even say that. They got companies now that send in these emails. So he was not persuaded by these 5,000 emails. They were going to vote not to regulate Uber anyway, because you're going to tell me a company sending in all these emails, where we don't know if they were individuals, but you're not going to respect over four or five hundred taxi cab drivers that showed up in person, and that you don't even make a reference to that at a hearing, and that you're going to get these. You don't know how these emails were generated, but these people had already made up their minds not to regulate Uber, and they are unregulated, contrary to what Catania said. Because they have no control over Uber itself or its prices. So it is unregulated.
Tune in next week to the Taxi Thing. We'll continue the conversation about Uber, also with Verifone. We're going to speak with the Verifone competitor. CMT lobbyist George Lowe will be here to discuss problems with the Verifone contract. All this will be posted at thefightback.org. This has been the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Thank you, BK Berhe. Thank you, Tony Norman. Thank you, Will Martin. And to Mark Taylor and to you, the listeners, for tuning in. Spread the word. Be back next week. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org. Peace.
Thank you.